For those of us that have been a Christian for many years and or even just a short time and know about the Holy Spirit and what his work is and his operation is, that I'm sure would have been an amazing time. I don't think we've had worship quite like that, if I'm honest, Adam. It was, and that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. It was different, unique. Doesn't mean it was any better, but there was something happening tonight that was different to what normally happens. And a lot of it's to do with timing. I battled with what to share tonight, and I was really battling about whether to share any personal testimony, and then it was in the midst of the worship that I really felt inspired to share. Something came back to me. And I think one of the reasons I was battling, I suppose, and struggling is because there's a conflict within me. And it goes a little bit like this, that on the one hand, I don't want to stand up here and talk about myself, because I'm here to tell you about God. But then I'm also acutely aware that we see God in each other and that it's his experience in us. And the Bible's very clear about the power of testimony. And when we share and we speak out and talk about what God's done and how effective that is and what an amazing thing that does. And I wanted to share about so much I wanted to talk about. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about some of the stuff that's happened in me is because to honour God and what he's really done in my life. Do you know, he is. I can honestly say, if this was the last day of my life, if this was the end of my life, which I don't believe it is, but I don't know. God knows that better than me. I can honestly say that I've lived a life and I don't regret it. We're doing a series in Warrington at the moment called No Regrets, and I don't have any regrets. I've made plenty of mistakes, plenty of mistakes. Anyone say amen to that? Yeah, come on. We've made lots of mistakes, haven't we, along the way? But I've given it a go and I've given it a shot. But the thing is, God in his mercy and in his it's never ceased to amaze me. The things that he's done and his favour and his grace upon my life and what he's done has been phenomenal. And I don't know whether it would mean anything to anyone else, because I look around and so many people doing bigger and better things than I'm doing. It's not about the greatness or the size of the things that we're doing. I think it's more about the appreciation, isn't it, and what it means to us. Because every testimony is so personal and is so powerful to ourselves. But my first experience with God wasn't what you would call traditional. In fact, my first experience of church that I recall was, there was a specific time in a Methodist church when we were taken there as school children, and we sat there in the pews, and I just remember when we were told to bow our heads, sitting there like, I'm not going to bow my head. I didn't have any belief in God. So in my mind, in my world, the idea of bowing my head, I was like, well, why should I bow my head? I don't believe in what you believe in. And I think that's one of the things that's driven what we're doing here in church, because we understand that people need time and need space. And I think one of the things that is so, so significant and powerful about God is his amazing patience. There's a famous chapter in the Bible that talks about love, and the very first attribute that it lists in love, you'd think about kindness, wouldn't you? And you'd think about lots of different things, but the very first one is patient. Love is patient, and the Bible tells us that God is love, and he is patient. He will wait almost an eternity for us. He would wait 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years to get his man or to get his woman and to get us to the place where we need to be. And we don't always understand why it takes time, but the simple fact that it does. And for me, it was in my early 20s was my first real experience with God. And whatever the reason for that time, and I don't know, I've tried to figure it out and I couldn't. But the experience was definitely with the Holy Spirit. It was a spiritual experience. It was a spiritual awakening. And it was a spiritual awakening that really, it couldn't have happened to a worse person, because around that time, this was like late 90s. And for those of you of my age or older, there was a guy, there was a few things that had gone on. I think Waco went on in America at the time, and that was all these religious fanatics, and they were all just down as cuckoos. There was another guy, I've forgotten his name now, it'll come back to me, I'm sure, who was an English guy who was suddenly professing that he was the Son of God. David Icke, that was it, and he was just being ridiculed in the press. So at that time, to suddenly have this spiritual awakening, and it was so significant that I was just like, I just couldn't get away from God's presence. Wherever I went, he was there. And it was like, oh, this is a little bit difficult, because the whole press about God at the moment is like all these people who talk about having religious conversions or religious experiences or whatever phraseology they want to use. Born again was like, again, another one of these sayings at the time that just seemed a bit odd and a bit cuckoo. And here was me having experienced that, and it was like I didn't quite know how to deal with that and what to say. And I spoke to a few people, but a few years later became a Christian, and I went to a church and ended up becoming a Christian. But one of the things I want to zone in on and home in on, because this series here that we're doing in Witness is about planning you can. And one of the things that I want to, that I really felt inspired to talk about is how God's plans kind of unwrap and evolve in our lives. So for me, you hear a lot about people saying, oh, I always said I'd never want to do this or I'd never want to do that. And for me, I've expressed the idea of being a Christian even, let alone standing up here as a pastor and talking about God. That idea was completely and utterly, it wasn't on my radar whatsoever. That wasn't something that I'd considered at all. And then suddenly I'm a Christian and I'm trying to tell people about God, and I'm having these amazing experiences. And I'm seeing God speak to me. Not necessarily audible voices. I think I've only experienced an audible voice once of God. But I'm getting impressions and things that I just know that this is God speaking to me. And as time goes on, you'll have an insight into something, and then you'll see it happen, and then maybe that happens again, and then maybe that happens again, and you suddenly start to wake up to the fact, oh right, this is kind of how God speaks, this is how he does it. And it might be different with different people, but one of the things very early on was I did believe I was going to end up being a pastor. And this was, I'd not been a Christian very long. Spoke to my mother-in-law at the time, who was pastoring the church, and she gave me the advice of to keep my mouth shut, not tell anyone, which I think was actually good advice, genuinely good advice. And I did that. But then about 13 or 14 years later, I was a teacher at the time, and I was building a bit of an extension on the back of the house. And I was, it took me all the 6 weeks of the summer holidays, and I was literally, I had floodlights set up all around the garden, and I'm working from before dawn till gone dusk to get this done and cram in what I can do in the 6 weeks. I'm not really seeing much of the kids, and in the middle of it, I had this question, and it took me all the summer just to get to ground level, because if you know anything about building, you have to go below ground first and dig your foundations and build your foundations, and then once you've got your concrete poured and all that stuff and you've dug as deep as you need to, then you start to build up with your concrete and with your all the different stuff and your breeze blocks that go below the ground and all of that stuff and concrete blocks and everything. And I remember just vividly being on the floor. I was literally, because I'm like, if you imagine this is the floor and the foundations are kind of down here at this point, because they probably went, in fact they did, they went as deep as the bottom of this stage. That's how deep they went, the foundations. And the concrete had brought it up kind of halfway. And they've got these big blocks, breeze blocks. Have you seen breeze blocks? These were concrete breeze blocks. So they weighed a ton. And I'm on the floor, and I'm literally like this. And I'm trying to put them in with one hand because that was the only way I could do it and hold myself up. And I'm putting these breeze blocks in and cementing them in. And I'm working like this, and I'm getting all of this done. And I'm going round, putting all of them in. And I just, in the middle of it, I just had this doubt of, am I wasting my time here? Was this a waste of time? Did I take on something that I should never have started? All this effort and all this time, I'm not even going to get it done this summer. And I just cried out to God and asked him, I said, God, am I wasting my time here? And the response that came was so clear. And it was this: son, I am teaching you to build. I am teaching you to build. And one of the things that I've recognized with God, I don't know if anyone else has recognized this, is that the spiritual things about God, they are mirrored in the practical world. So, for example, building foundations, God digs deep into your life. If God is going to build in your life, and believe me, God wants to build in your life. I can stand up here and say to everyone in this room, whether I know you or not, that God wants to build in your life. And if that is the case, which I believe that is, then the first principle is that he has got to dig down deep. He's got to dig down deep and make sure that those foundations are solid and firm. And the principle that goes in the world, and it is so true, so, so true spiritually as well, is that the bigger the building, the higher you're going to build, the deeper you've got to go. And the thing about digging deep is it's dirty and it's uncomfortable and it hurts. And it exposes some stuff that you don't really want people to see because it's hidden and it's dirty and it's not very nice. But God's got to get down to that. He doesn't necessarily have to remove it. You see, some of the stuff that we would consider to be horrible and ugly and worthless, God's able to use and to build upon. One of my sons, I won't embarrass him by telling which one is, I've told him this himself, he has an amazing determination. When he gets his mind set on something, he will pester and mither, and he will not take no for an answer until he gets what he wants, or until he's kind of got, told, stop it, don't ask anymore. Now, in many ways, that's not necessarily a good trait because it can wear you down as a parent, and it can be kind of difficult and to work with and all of that. And if there's anyone like that in this room, you'll know what I'm on about, because if you're that kind of a person, I've been that kind of a person. If you're that kind of a person that doesn't take no for an answer, then you're the kind of a person that gets yourself in trouble. Anyone know what I'm on about? Come on. I can't be the only one in this room. Maybe I am. Maybe we're a unique breed. But the thing is, and one of the things I've said to my son is that whilst many people may not like that, when God gets a hold of that, that is an incredible, incredibly powerful attribute for God to get a hold of and use for his plans and his purposes. Because there's some things in the kingdom, there's some things in life that if you want to do, you've got to be prepared to not take no for an answer. You've got to say, I am going for this and I ain't going to stop no matter how many people get in my way, no matter how many people tell me no, I am just going to keep on going and keep on going. And when God digs deep down into your life, he will find some stuff like that. He will expose some stuff in you that you don't like, some stuff in you that you'd rather hide, the kind of stuff that got you in trouble when you were little, the kind of stuff that maybe got you bullied when you were younger, maybe got you told off when you were younger, maybe your parents didn't understand it, maybe they were just frustrated, maybe your teachers kind of got annoyed by you, maybe you were more intelligent than your teachers, maybe you were more gifted than your teachers, maybe your teachers were more intelligent than you, but you had something that they didn't have and they didn't like it. Maybe it was the same case with your friends, and so they didn't like it, so they tried to hold you down. It's stuff that you don't like about yourself, and you kind of you've learned to hide it, you've learned to keep it buried so no one can see it. But when God's going to build in your life, he's going to dig down deep and he's going to expose that stuff. And it's not nice. It hurts. And it's stuff that, that you tend to go through this dialogue of, God, I don't want that to be exposed. I don't want you to use that. Can't you use something else in me? You see, the Bible describes him as the author. So he wrote the book. Not just the Bible, but the book of our lives, the book of history. He wrote it. He knows. He planned it. He ordained it. It doesn't mean everything that happens in the world is what God wants. But God has a plan. And his plans will be fulfilled in the end. They just take some time. But they will be fulfilled no matter what. And whilst we might not want it to be used, and we might want it done a different way, he knows what's best. Ever had that experience with someone else and you're looking at them and you're just thinking, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing it? That's the right way to go. Why aren't you doing it? Everyone can see. That must be how God feels at times. Must be. But praise God, he is incredibly patient. And no matter how many times you kind of push back and turn away, he will keep on coming back. He will keep on coming back. And there's a time, there's an appointed time when it just clicks. When it just clicks. And then, so God was, and I knew he was showing me something then. And here's one of the most incredible things he showed me. A few years earlier, maybe 4 or 5 years earlier, Vicky had got me a track day for my birthday, you know, to go and drive one of these Formula One type cars around the track and all of this stuff. And so I'd done that, and in the midst of it, one of the parts of it was you went round the track with an experienced driver, a racing driver in a two-seater car, and he went round at first and showed you how to take the track and the apexes and you name it and all of that stuff. And then the second time round, you went round and he's kind of instructing you and telling you to get the racing line and how to get it and all of that stuff. And one of the things that I didn't quite get and I didn't quite understand was that where there's a chicane, where there's a couple of bends that are close together, and as I'm approaching this first bend, and it was a left-hand bend, and there was a marker on it that was the apex of the bend. The apex is like the sharpest point. The apex is that bit of the bend where you get to halfway round, and at that point, if you know anything about driving, at that point, that's when you power on. But if you power on before the apex, you'll go off. And if you power on too late after the apex, you won't get round it as fast as you could do. So the apex is an important point in the bend. And so you need to know where the apex is. And one of the things he's saying is you've got to concentrate and really get that apex of the bend so you know exactly when to hit the power to come out at the optimum speed. But in this, these two bends are so close together. And what he's saying to me is he's saying, on these bends, you don't look at the apex for the first bend. You're focusing on the apex for the second bend because that's the bend that's coming up. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so we're taking this first bend at 90. If I'm looking at the other bend, we're coming off. This car's coming off if I'm not even looking at the apex of this bend. And I didn't really get it at the time, and it was round about this time when God had said to me, I'm teaching you how to build, and I was driving along in the car, and he said, son, what I was teaching you at that point, or what I want to show you now about that is this, that the reason you've got to be looking to the next bend, not focusing on the bend that you're in at the moment, is because you've got to be preparing for the next bend. The bend that you're in at the moment, how you come out of that sets you up perfectly for the next stage of your life. And there's lots of different ways of taking it, but there's only one that's going to leave you coming out of it perfectly lined up for the next bend so that you're ready for it. And by focusing on the next bend during the problems that you're going through at the moment, do you know what it does? It gives you vision.
It gives you faith. I'm not about the things that God reveals to us. It gives you the faith to know that even though this is tricky, even though it might seem like I'm not going to get through this, or I'm going to come off, the fact that God's got me preparing for the next bend is proof, if it was ever needed, that I'm going to get through it and I'm coming out of it. Can I get an amen in here? Anyone getting this? Is this working for anyone? I don't want to rabbit on just about stuff, but if this is working, let's just go with it for a few more moments. And it was at that point, and there was another key point that happened not long after that, and someone gave me a book, a member of the church, and a guy called Schola, and he gave me a John Maxwell book, I hadn't said anything to him. He didn't know anything about my journey or where I was at or anything like that. And he just gave me this book. It was called Developing the Leader Within You by John Maxwell. And I started reading it, and that was just key, because at that point you wouldn't have called me a leader. At that point, you wouldn't have said, oh, he's a leader at that point. But he'd given me this book, and I knew it was right to read it. And the more and more I was reading it, I was becoming more and more inspired by God and what he had for me. And he was rekindling some things. And you know, I just want to get, can I give you some wisdom for the journey? Just some really simple wisdom. Number one, right? This is just kind of, you know, this is good stuff that God's taught me and shown me, and it works. It works really, really well. The first one is this, right? So when you get them moments in your life when God's stirring you, and it could be a problem that you're facing, it could be something, a desire that you want or whatever, and you know you've got that kind of just, you've got that burden that you know it's heavy and it's got to be released, it's got to be dealt with. Here's the first thing I've learned, right? Pray. Now that might sound really, really obvious, okay? And I know that sounds obvious, right? But I'm not just on about just say a prayer. I'm on about that kind of prayer that's obsessive. That wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever's going on, it's on your mind all the time. You're talking to God all the time about it. As you're driving along, I mean, it's often when I'm driving along in the car or in the shower. It's all those kind of, I suppose because the private moments, aren't they? But just pray obsessively. Pray, pray, pray. Keep praying. Keep asking God. Keep talking to him about it. Keep questioning him about it. And eventually, he always answers. He always gives you an answer. He always tells you. And often it's a vision of the future. And so that's maybe the second thing, is that it's a vision of the future. The third thing is that the thing about visions of the future is that often they start off quite vague. Paul uses a phrase, seeing through a glass dimly. It's like fuzzy. It's like foggy, a bit like when Sam's been on the smoke machine and you can't quite see everything that's going on. It's like that. Is he still there? I'm sure he heard us. He's still there. He's listening. He's just checking you're still awake, Sam. This is important. You need to listen to this stuff, mate. So it starts off foggy. And the thing about it at this stage is, right, this first embryonic stage is, you've got to be careful if you're about telling anyone, because you can tell people and people can, as Deanna so beautifully put it, puke all over your dream. That was it, wasn't it, Dee? Did I get it? Puke on your promise. Even better, yeah. Puke on your promise. And so you've got to be, oh, look, he's off. Let's see. I knew, I was waiting for it. I thought as soon as I say this, he's going to fog me out. So you've got to be careful who you tell. It's not that you can't tell anyone. It's just that when you do, you've just got to be prepared that they might not understand it. Because generally at this stage, it doesn't quite make sense anyway. Because either you're not ready and no one can see it in you, or you are ready and maybe those people don't want to see it in you because they don't want to see you doing that. Or maybe it's even more, it's the, you know, it just doesn't even make sense what you're saying. It's so outlandish. It's so far out. It's so out there that it just, people would think you were a bit odd, a bit crackers, a bit nuts, a bit ahead of yourself, Maybe you've got this dream that you're going to be the prime minister one day. And you're like, you know, Flip, this is like no one could even, you know. Churchill had that dream, you know. Churchill had that dream. He had that vision and that dream. There you go. It's okay, mate. It was on cue anyway. It was good. But then at that point, sometimes there's some patience needed at that point. Because in experience at that point, so you get the dream, you get the vision, God spoke to you, you've got the answer to prayer, you're all ready and you're all excited, and then nothing happens. And you're like, what's going on? Why is nothing happening? God, you've given me this amazing promise, right? And I mean, Tina's done probably one of the most incredible life stories of anyone in this room. And I'm sure she would amen this. There must have been points in some of the things that God said. And he said some amazing things, Tina. And then suddenly it's like, okay, you're all excited. And then like nothing happens. It's like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Why is this not happening? Why is nothing happening? Have I got this wrong? But you're like, no, I haven't got this wrong. Because I know. So why is it not happening? This is like the patient stage. With Abraham, it was like 20 years he waited for the promise. He had a promise of a son, and him and his wife couldn't have children. And in those days, you couldn't go and get IVF. There was none of that stuff. There was no doctors to go and talk to. You were just barren, and you were ostracized, and your outlook was pretty bleak, because without kids, unless you were really, really wealthy, who looks after you in your old age? And even if you were really wealthy, think about it. There was no, like, police. If you were really wealthy and you got old in them days without anyone to look after you, well, people could just come and rob from you anyway. So this, I don't think we understand just how significant it is what happened with Abraham. This promise that he was given and the fact that he waited 20 years for a child, 20 years for the son, for the promise. And he doubted. And he wasn't sure that it was going to happen. Sarah even laughed. When Sarah heard about it, she laughed. His own wife laughed at him and laughed at the promise. Well, she wasn't really laughing at him. She was laughing at the people that were telling him. But in one sense, she was laughing at him. Like, what? Abe? What? Him? Come on. But during that time, when you've got over yourself and you've got over your pity party and the moaning and the complaining, because that's kind of part of it as well, the moaning, the complaining, and the whinging, and the, you know, some people get a bit upset with God. I don't generally do that, but there's the whinging and the moaning and all that kind of stuff. When you've got over that bit, all right, and you're ready to kind of go, okay, God, what do we do now? All right, so I'm going to have to wait a bit for this. What do we do now? Here's what you do, you plan. You plan. You do everything you can to prepare yourself for what is coming, no matter how it looks. You don't necessarily have to tell people. You could maybe start getting this, you know, some people around you that you could maybe talk to and glean advice off and whatever, but you start planning and you start working on yourself. You forget everyone else. There's only one person you need to work on at this stage, and that's you. That's you. No one else. You. You work on you. You sort yourself out. You dig in deep. This is where God is digging deep into the foundation of your life. He's getting you ready for what is to come. He's getting you ready. And the bigger it is, the deeper he's got to dig. Hopefully it's less than 20 years for you. But then it starts to come, and it starts to happen. You start to learn. Maybe, Adam, maybe you could get up and play some of that amazing stuff again. Because this is the bit where, you see, all the way through this, the thing that I've been talking about, when we talk about God speaking to you and what God's saying and all of this kind of stuff, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit. The Spirit of God. We're talking about God's presence here on earth. And it's amazing that the worship went as it did. And I couldn't have made that happen. It was like there was a couple in this morning's meeting, and I'm speaking to the guy after the meeting, I'm stood there and he's telling me everything about his life and where they're at. And in the end, I just had to say, wow, that's pretty much everything I spoke about this morning. He went, yeah. I went, I didn't know you were coming, you know. Which was a bit of a joke because he knew I didn't know he was coming. How could I have? But it's God. It's God. And you know, I want to tell you, right, as individuals, the reason that God's chosen tonight to speak this message is because he's getting ready for something. He's digging deep again. He's digging deep again in your life. From Tina, who's the oldest, and she's had such an amazing life and done such amazing things. But he's digging deep again, Tina. Digging deep again. He ain't finished, is he? And I know you know that, so it's not, that's not patronising in any way. Through to the youngest of us, he's digging deep again. He's digging deep again. Sorting out the issues. Sorting out the problems. I want to speak to those people in here that feel like you're unworthy. Those people that would say, hey, listen, you know, all that's great what you're talking about. But the thing is, Barry, God can't use me because I've done, you don't know what I've done. You don't know all the things that I've done wrong. You don't know. And I might say, yeah, but that's, and then you'd say back to me, yeah, but Barry, yeah, great. You could say, yeah, but God can forgive all of that. And you'd say, yeah, but I've done that over and over again. I keep on doing that. And I don't seem to be able to get the victory. I seem to keep on going, me, and repeat my own mistakes. God's talking to you. He's talking to you tonight. He's not finished with you. He ain't finished yet. If you want all of these experiences, if you're somewhere along that line, that chain of events, and listen, I'm not preaching this as it has to happen the way it's happened to me. This is just a testimony of how God's done it in my life. It might be similar for you, it might be slightly different. I know a lot of it's going to be similar for a lot of people because so many Bible characters experienced those kind of things that I've talked about this morning or this evening. The thing that you need more than anything else, you need His Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit. You need His power. We're a church. We're a charity as well. And you can think of the charity part of the church as the good things that we do. And the kind of, you know, the non-profit stuff that we do as a church, finance and all that kind of stuff. But that's not even half the story. Because if that was it, we may as well just be Bernardo's or, I don't know, whatever it is, pick your charity. Children in Need or something like that. But we're a church. We believe that God's leading and guiding us to the things that He wants us to do. And the way that He does that is through His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit in your life. And if you're that person that's saying to me, oh, but Barry, so many times, so many mistakes, so many sins, so many things I've done wrong. He died on the cross for your sins. Don't pass that by too quickly. What He did on that cross, don't forget it was the Son of God. That's significant because if you've got children, it would be more painful to see your children suffer than yourself. So for God to send His Son and not Himself was more significant than the Father God coming down to earth and doing it Himself. It was the ultimate price He could possibly pay. And the heavy, heavy price, the ultimate price was for your salvation, for your forgiveness. That no matter what you've done, what you've said, what you've thought, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, if you will just simply believe on Him, believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, then all of your sins are forgiven. You are clean. You are pure. Whiter than the driven snow. Whiter than white. cloaked, the Bible calls it, in a robe of righteousness. That on the inside, it's a great metaphor, because on the inside you might be like, but I still feel like I'm a terrible person and a mess up and I make mistakes. But it's the robe. It's the robe that covers you, that makes you clean. And he's doing the work on the inside as well, you know. The inside matters to God. So if you've named the name of Christ, if you've believed in your heart that he died on the cross and he rose again, if you've confessed that with your mouth, then this night, you are a Christian. You are a Christian. Romans 10 tells us that. You are a Christian. Doesn't matter how you feel. But here's the thing about it that's so key. That is to make you ready, that you can be a vessel, that you can contain his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God can live in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The life-giving Spirit, the power-giving Spirit. That he can raise you from the dead. That he can change your life, that he can empower you for amazing works. Listen to this. Just let me share this. Romans 12 says this, that the Spirit, when you're born again of the Spirit, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit means to be completely immersed. Completely immersed in the Holy Spirit. He envelops your life. Everywhere you go, he's with you. Suddenly, you know things about the future that you couldn't have known. Prophecy, the Bible calls it. You're empowered to serve. Maybe some of you are able to teach. Some of you are able to speak out things about God, amazing things about God. Some of you just become amazingly generous. You just have the gift of giving and giving and giving and never growing weary. Some have the gift of leadership and some of mercy. Just incredible mercy. Just able to love on the vilest of sinners, the worst of offenders. First Corinthians 12 says, some of us have words of wisdom, some words of knowledge and faith, and gifts of healings, and miracles, distinguishing between spirits, whether they're good or bad, and what their intentions are, and what the purpose and the plans are, speaking in unknown languages and being able to interpret. First Peter 4 says this, whoever speaks renders service unto God. So I want to make an opportunity tonight and an offer tonight. The Bible says that the baptism and the Holy Spirit can come by the laying on of hands. It's different to salvation. But if you would say, hey Barry, I don't feel like I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can recognize that there's a Spirit. I could tell in the worship before, it was lovely and it was amazing, and I want that. I've seen others with it and I want what they've got. Then I want to give you an opportunity tonight, because in this church, God's digging and he's about to do some amazing things, some incredible, incredible things. And tonight's about making some of us ready for that. So we're ready to feel him and experience him. So if that's you tonight, in fact, come on, let's stand for a minute. Can we stand? Would you stand with me? I know that we've maybe gone slightly over tonight. No, we haven't actually, but all right. If you don't mind, can we maybe bow our heads for a minute? Let's close our eyes just for a moment. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for everyone in this place tonight, Lord, that's hungry, Lord, for you, Lord, that hungers and thirsts for your righteousness and for your Holy Spirit, that wants that next level, Lord. It's not even a level, forgive me. It's not a level. That wants the gift. Lord, I believe that you've prepared tonight, that tonight is about this very thing now. Lord, so I just pray for those people, Lord, and Lord, I just lift them up to you now, Lord, and I say, Lord, I intercede for them, Lord. Lord, give them what they desire, Lord. Give them their heart's desire. Bless them tonight, Lord. Bless them abundantly tonight, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. And if that's you, if you know that it's you that have been talking about, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. In a minute, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you on one, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Raise your hand high just so I can see, because I want to pray with you. I want us all to pray a prayer together. On two, if that's you tonight, if you know that that God's been speaking to your heart and to you tonight, maybe you knew it even as early as the worship, before I even got up and said a word, that God was doing something tonight, that it was significant. Maybe it was in the word, maybe it all came together. Maybe it was the testimony. Whatever it was for you, if it's God's spoken to you tonight in this area, then on three, I'm going to ask you, just raise your hand now. Just raise your hand now. Thank you. Just raise your hand now. That's it. I see that hand. Anyone else? If that's you, just raise your hand now. If you want the Holy Spirit, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for, Lord, for those people, Lord, that placed their hands in the air, Lord, that answered that prayer to you, Lord. I know that they're genuine, Lord. I knew that this was their night, Lord. I knew that this was ordained by you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Just receive His Holy Spirit now. I know His Holy Spirit's just touching you now, enveloping you now. You can feel His presence all around you. The Spirit of God, Jesus. I just want to speak into the heart of those ones and twos that are just struggling at the moment, feeling broken and dirty and struggling, feeling exposed. God says He's digging deep into your life because there's some things that He's got to deal with. But you need to know that this is God doing this night and over these last few weeks and months, that this is God at work in your life, that you know the promises that God's placed in your life. You know the promises that He's spoken to you. I don't need to tell you them. I don't even know them. But you know them. You know what He's said. But God's got to dig deep into your life to get you ready to expose some stuff that you don't want to be exposed. But you need to know He's going to use those things. He's going to build on those things. And that building will stand in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.